What's up, everybody? Welcome to Dropping the Gloves with John and Tim on a nice Friday morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you're listening to this. We're a little down tonight, Tim. I just don't have my mojo. I don't know why.
Yeah, you're missing that? You just missed Danielle. I know she's out with her friends tonight.
She's out with her friends. The kids are sleeping or supposed to be sleeping. The house is quiet. It's funny how I don't have a TV. Did you know that?
You don't have a TV? Everyone has a TV, John.
Not me. I live a different kind of lifestyle than everybody else, I guess.
You're so unique and interesting.
I just love reading and just sitting with my thoughts. It's honestly awful. I wish I had a TV right now so I could just like zone out and watch a TV and just watch anything. Anything right now would be so nice. Literally anything you could put on, I would sit there and watch it. I miss it. I miss my TV. What am I going to do?
20 minutes away, John. I have a TV. You can come hang anytime you want.
Can't leave the kids here. No way.
They're old enough. They're sleeping. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're sleeping. You want to go to jail? How'd John go to jail? He went to watch TV at Tim's. But anyways, how you doing, my main man, Tim? Tell the audience how you're doing.
I'm doing fine. I got a lot of texts this week from listeners congratulating me on beating COVID. So thank you if you reached out. I feel good. Means a lot. It always surprises me when that stuff happens. So it's been nice to hear.
I saw one of the best chirps in a while in our fantasy hockey league that we do with some fans. He said, Tim finally got a win. He beat COVID. It was really funny. Because you're absolutely horrendous in our fantasy league. You're absolutely
Honestly, I have a top three team in the league.
How can you say that when you're last place?
Everyone that plays me just gets lucky that week. And I just get bad matchups. And you look at my lineup, it's on paper, they're just incredible.
You're the epitome of what's wrong with kids these days, where you think you know everything and everything's perfect. And you're just a train wreck. And you're like, I'm the best. It's not me. I'm the best. I'm the best.
Thanks for calling me a kid.
Getting lucky.
Makes me feel young again.
You got to grow up, Tim. You have the worst team in the league. The worst. Who's got the best? I do. And I don't think I'm the best. I think I'm getting lucky. But I'm also winning 9-0 this week. So I must be doing something right. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
John, what's the deal with these fight videos you've been releasing this week on Hockey Fights' channel?
Changed the subject pretty quick there, Tim.
It's my job. I'm going to move the show.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do this for a while, and it just felt like a perfect thing with hockeyfights.com that we're partnering with now. It's like I watch fights today, and I want to, I don't want to say I want to critique them. But I want to be a fan. I want to tell people what the fight's all about, the reasons behind it, things that they're doing, things that they should do, why it's a great fight, why it's a terrible fight. Just give a breakdown of behind the fight. You know, I don't think people realize the stuff that goes inside a fight, before the fight, after the fight, stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting. Even a fight like the first one I did was Lucic and Austin Watson. From the outside looking in, it's just like Lucic throwing around Austin Watson. There's a lot of stuff that goes in behind it. I don't know. We're going to do it. I think it's fun. I don't care if anybody likes it. I enjoy it. It's a fun little 5-minute clip. I don't know. How long are they? 5, 6, 7 minutes. I've done two. I'll probably do more. They're called Scott's Thoughts, just like Scott's Tots from The Office. I thought that was a fun little play on that. We can do more than fights. We can do some, goals, celebrations, some bloopers. No, we'll keep it loose, Tim.
Yeah, they've been fun. I mean, you got a lot of positive feedback so far. Hockey Fights has been posting them on their channel, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on their YouTube page. So check it out.
They're posting kind of a lot, I guess. That's too much.
No, they're posting on everywhere their audience is. And, like, it's good insight. It's kind of like you don't really realize what goes on behind the dance, right? The little things that – and even you, like, you're not actually even talking to these players, like, but you just know just from your experience, like, why this guy's fighting and why they're doing what they're doing and what kind of – how the context plays into, two guys dropping the gloves. So go check it out. Check them out if you haven't listened yet. It'll be coming out every week.
Did you see what the comment Curtis Gabriel made, the tough guy for the Sharks?
Which one?
He made a comment when they played St. Louis and Binnington kind of went cycle the game before. And he's like, after the game, he fought Clifford. He did okay. It's not like he beat him up really bad, but after the game, he's like, you know what? I just wanted to send the message that no one's going to do that versus our team as long as I'm on it. I'm like, pump the brakes, Gabriel. Like, you've been in the league for less than a half of a quarter of a cup of coffee. Like, you've had a handful of crew fights. Like, let's not get carried away here, man. Like, that kind of irked me a little bit. It's like, you're not even in the top 5, 10 guys in the league who are tough. So I don't know. When you get a reputation, you can maybe say something like that. But even that, like, I don't think you should say something like that. It's embarrassing. It's like, okay, you're the man. You know, everyone's going to see that quote, and they're not going to want to do anything versus the Sharks because they're scared of Curtis Gabriel. I don't know. Stuff like that where you're just, like, showboating a little bit in the media. It's like, nobody cares. I hope he gets knocked out. I do. He deserves to get beat up after that comment. He fought Kyle Clifford, and he fought Ryan Reeves. And he did okay in both fights. Good for him. Doesn't mean you get to go out and just, like, spout at the mouth, like, no one's going to mess with the Sharks anymore if I'm in the lineup. It's like, pumped, like, easy. Like, honestly, settle down, kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's making a name for himself, right? We're talking about him, and he's probably just trying to grab a little bit of attention from the other enforcers in the league, and I don't know if anyone's scared of him or anything, but certainly, you know, he's not been quiet in his role so far.
No, he's really big with the center line conversations. The first two games he's been in, he just, like, talks at the center ice, the red line. I've never understood that. I've never gotten it. It's like the warm-ups are for skating around and getting warmed up. He just sits there and talks to their tough guy, like, I'm going to fight you tonight. And Reeves is like, yeah, oh, maybe. Okay. Clifford's like, okay. Have you seen my hairline? It's terrible right now. Like, I've never understood the conversation. It should be this. You want to go tonight? No. Okay. You want to go? Yep. All right. We're going to do it. I've never talked at the red line ever. I don't see the purpose in it. I don't see, you're not going to gain any kind of advantage. It's just pointless to me. If you're going to fight, you're going to fight. If not, you're not. You're not going to scare somebody by just, hey, you skate. Hey, come back here. I'm going to fight you tonight. It's like, ah, great. I don't know. Stuff like that is just pointless to me. It's just a waste of time.
Speaking of the Sharks, did you see this new report on Evander Kane today?
Yes, I have. His life. Yeah. But you know what? Okay, go ahead. Tell everyone the report.
Okay, so just weeks after filing bankruptcy, we talked about this in depth, you know, last month. The report came out from Dan Kaplan and Kevin Kurz of The Athletic, who are two, like, legit reporters. They have inside info. Reported today that the Sharks have told federal bankruptcy court they're considering voiding his contract, which he's due another $29 million over the next few years. It kind of seems backward. I don't know if it does it have to do with the fact that he has declared bankruptcy. Like, I don't understand the financial logistics of it, but I've never heard of anything like this in the NHL. Have you?
Well, no, this is definitely rare because no one goes in debt when they play in the NHL and they're making that much money. So the way this worked was Evander took loans based off of his future earnings. So he went to casinos, he went to banks, he went to other places. I'm not sure where, but he said, hey, I'm going to make 56, whatever it is, 50 million bucks over the next 7 years. Loan me 500 grand. Loan me $1 million. So he gets these loans within crazy interest rates on them, and he's expected to pay them back. And so he's got these outstanding loans, but they're all based on his contract. So the way I see it, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, because I could be, but from my understanding is this could be good for Evander Kane. If his contract gets terminated, those loans are also terminated because they're based on his future earnings in this contract. So I could be wrong, but if that contract gets terminated, I don't know what happens to those loans. So this could be a good thing for the Sharks because they can get out from under his bad contract, which they need to get out from under. He's not producing. He's got an okay, you know, total this year, but if he's making 7 schmil, not a good look. This could be good for Evander. If he gets out from this contract, he loses all that debt. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to do it, but, you know, it could be a win-win on both sides, except for the casinos who are trying to get their money. But we'll see what happens. Right.
And a second report came out from Kevin Kurz, who's the same guy who reported this originally. But a team spokesman said the Sharks are 100% committed to honoring his contract and have no intention of having it terminated. I mean, just the fact that it's being talked about and it's reported, like, there's clearly some discussion there. Where there's smoke, there's usually fire. And again, like, we talked about this before with Evander, but the chatter and chirps you must be hearing about all this has just got to be lethal on the ice.
Yeah, it's funny. You would think, I don't know. I think guys feel bad for him a little bit because he's already played out a few years of this contract. He has about 30 mil left. And he's still super in debt. So, like, he's not going to make any money. He's going to walk out of this contract having played in the NHL for over a decade, made over $60, $70, $80 million and have not a penny to show for it. Like, that's quite the feat. So I think guys are like, yeah, Vander, like, sorry, man. Like, let's get this figured out. But That's a tough look. He still has $30 million left to make. Hopefully he can pay off his debts and kind of turn his financial status around. He's a good hockey player. He's still relatively young. Like, he still has some productive years ahead of him. Just, I don't know. I'm not going to bag on him any more than we have. It's just like, at this point we're beating a dead horse. It just, I want him to catch a good break. You know what I mean? Like, just something good happened to Evander. But I don't know when that's going to happen.
Well, let's talk about the Bruins then, because
speaking of bad beats,
we talked about them a little bit the other day. But the Bruins are really starting to skid. They're in fourth place in their division. They got the Rangers and Flyers breathing down their necks. And Don Sweeney, their GM, came out and spoke to the press yesterday, and he made some pretty strong statements. He kind of said, he got asked questions about making some trades, adjusting the fact that his team is not scoring, particularly on 5-on-5. And he said, quote, "If we have to shake things up, I think we'll do that. Understand that the expectations haven't changed. Our group has played well, but not quite good enough. And the scoring has been the Achilles heel up to this point. Hopefully you can find it from within, or I'm going to have to make a move to bring in support." So just to set the context a little bit here, the Bruins now rank 21st in the NHL at 2.28 goals per game. But the problem really in the story that's making this such a bad problem for them is the Bruins ranked 27th in the entire league at 5-on-5 goals with 39. Only one power play over the last seven games, one power play goal. This is before tonight. I think they scored one. But still, like, this is – it doesn't really make sense. And you can't really take out their top line. But their top line has accounted for literally 50% of their goals this year. So it's just like they're so reliant on that line. And if the team figures out how to shut them down, they're going to have nothing to answer for. I mean, you haven't got a goal at even strength at all from David Krejci, Andre Kasha, or Jake DeBrusk, who was a healthy scratch the other night. And those three forwards are supposed to be their second line. You know, they had a chance to make some moves in the offseason. They didn't. They watched guys like Toffoli, Duclair, Hoffman, several others go on and sign on other teams. And now if they have to make a move to address this lack of scoring, they're going to have to give up some pretty good value in the form of prospects, draft picks, and probably cash. So it's like, you know, I'm glad that Sweeney's paying attention and he's willing to make a move to adjust this. But it feels like he's kind of cleaning up his own mistakes by not addressing this in the offseason.
Well, yeah, it's funny how he's playing, you know, bad cop right now. It's like, we're going to mix things up. We're going to shake it up. We're going to bring in new bodies. You had 5 months to do this. Everybody talked about this. This was not a big secret. This isn't a surprise that's just all of a sudden being sprung on Don Sweeney. It's like, oh, my goodness, we have no scoring. Oh, our defense is struggling. Well, how did this happen? You had 5 months to figure this out. You let the cornerstone of your franchise walk when he wanted to come back in Zdeno Chara. You let arguably one of the best offensive defensemen in the NHL walk when you could have signed him for a decent contract. You did not address your lack of scoring at the wings. You had opportunities to sign Toffoli, Duclair, Hoffman at very, very reduced prices from what they went into the offseason thinking they were going to get. The opportunities were there. You went out and you got Smith. That's it. Like, other than that, you sat on your hands and you just whistling Dixie, not even wondering or hoping or trying to do anything. And so now all of a sudden you're surprised that you're not scoring goals 5-on-5. You're surprised that your defensemen are not producing. You're surprised that your power play is junk the last seven games. You're surprised that you're just at fourth place and sliding fast, he should lose his job. This is a direct result of his inactivity this offseason. If he doesn't – listen, he has two options here. Two, you have to mortgage your future and go out and trade for a Matthias Ekholm from Nashville. You got to go out and try to, you know, take a shot at a Taylor Hall, go big and really make a push at the cup, or he's got to sell the ship. You got to trade David Krejci. You got to trade Tuukka Rask. You got to trade these guys to get some draft capital. Your farm system is a joke. You have no one in the farm to trade. You're not going to win the Stanley Cup if you just make a few little moves. There are better teams in your division. There are better teams in other divisions. So what are you going to do, Don Sweeney? You can't just, you know, I'm going to trade my first rounder and go get Taylor Hall. Are you going to win the Stanley Cup if you're Boston, if you get Taylor Hall?
You're closer, but no, you need defense at more than I think.
They are in a position now, Boston, where their window, is it closed?
No, come on.
Be honest, though. Where other teams are I don't think it's closed. It's getting dangerously close to being closed. And it's tough to say that because they have such a great team. They have Pasternak, Marchand. They have Bergeron. They have good pieces. Charlie McAvoy is a good piece. It will take some work to piece together some parts to help those guys, but it doesn't look good right now. It doesn't look good. And for him to come out and say, we're going to get some new bodies in here, that bothers me. It's like you should have did it 5 months ago when you had the chance and there was good bodies that you could replace them with. In my opinion, you can't stay pat. You can't just do nothing. You have to go out and make a move. Now, mind you, maybe some medicine is on the way. They've had a pretty tough schedule to date. The medicine is obviously the Buffalo Sabres. They have not yet played the Buffalo Sabres. Tim, how many games do they have?
Isn't that insane? They have 8 games left against the Buffalo Sabres for their final, like, whatever, 28 games. Like, it's so crazy.
A third of their games is going to be versus Buffalo. So, conservatively, and this is being conservative, if they play Buffalo 8 times, they're going to win 5. They'll probably tie 1, lose in an overtime, and they'll lose 2 maybe outright. So, 5-2-1 in those 8 games. That should push their chances for the playoffs a little bit higher. But I don't know. Where does Boston end up at the end of the season?
I think they do make the playoffs, and I do think they need to make – I would love to see them go get a package, and I know that it would be expensive both from a capital, a trade package, and also the salary cap. But go get Ekholm and Philippe Forsberg from Nashville. You address 2 major problems in 1 big package deal. You give up some pieces to go get those guys. I know Ekholm was an affordable contract. They don't have Forsbergs in front of me. But, like, those guys, Nashville's teetering. Like, they're going to be looking to sell. And those are the two. Ekholm is really the one everyone's talking about. But I think Forsberg has not really been right for the last year and a half or so in terms of his production, what he's capable of. And I think you could slot him on Krejci's line and hopefully they find some chemistry together. I would love to see them make a move like that. The other interesting thing, too, is so 2015, the Bruins, if you remember, this is the year that I think that John Sweeney came in and they traded Lucic, they traded Dougie Hamilton, they traded in a couple of big moves, all within a couple of days, and they had 3 draft picks in a row in the first round. Remember that? The 13, 14, 15 pick. And so tonight, they're playing the Rangers tonight. Tonight's the first time all 3 of those players are on the roster for the same time. And it's Jake DeBrusk. I don't remember the exact order, but Jake DeBrusk, Jacob Zboril, and Zach Senyshyn. Well, Jake DeBrusk has been on the team since he was a rookie. The other two have mostly been in Providence. But first time tonight. But do you know who was picked number 16 right after those 3 swings and misses?
Sidney Crosby.
Matthew Barzal.
Oh.
Like, if you look at it, there's more like that. Like, the next 5 or 6 picks are all just studs in this league, and it's just so frustrating. Like, you swing and miss on 3 in a row, and then Matthew Barzal is the next one up. Like, come on.
That's a tough one. That's a tough night when you got to go to sleep after that. But anyways, hey, they're up 4-0 tonight. You know what? But guess what? Their first line has got 3 of their 4 goals. So, again, the problem is tertiary scoring, secondary scoring. Jake DeBrusk is off the schneid. He's got his second goal of the year. Good for him. But the problem still remains. Can Boston find some secondary scoring? Can they get their help from their defense? Oh, you got the list up here. Kyle Connor, great player for Winnipeg right now, picked right afterwards. Thomas Chabot, stud defenseman for Ottawa. Yevgeny Shevchenkov, he's doing, you know what? He's actually playing pretty well for Detroit right now. Shevchenkov, whatever. Erickson Ek for the Wild, he's playing really well. Samsonov, good goalie for the Capitals. Mike, Brock Besser, Travis Konecny, Jack Roslovic. There's some good players picked right after them. That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's embarrassing. That is
pretty funny. And they went Jakob Zorbal, Jake DeBrusque, and some other no-name.
Zachary Senishin. Oh, by the way, goodness. The Islanders, we got a little criticism talking about the surprises at the halfway point, and we didn't talk about the Islanders. I think that's on us, John. What they've been doing, I don't know if I just haven't been paying attention or what, but I was looking through their stats, and I was just kind of blown away today. They've won six in a row. I don't know who they're playing tonight. I don't know. I haven't tracked that. But the six in a row, they're 13-2-2 in their last 17 games. First in the Eastern Division, and what we it's the strongest division. I think most people kind of counted them out heading into the season. We kind of thought it was the Bruins, it was the Capitals, the Penguins, and maybe one of the Islanders, Penguins, Flyers, or Rangers. But they're just surging and firing on all cylinders right now. They're not relying on a top heavy lineup like the Bruins are, for example. Like, they have five forwards with nine or more goals with Barzal, Anders Lee, Pajot, Nelson, and Eberle. They have 10 players with double-digit points. Two of them are D-men. Like, these guys are, like, they're getting help in production up and down the lineup. Semyon Varlamov is having, like, a renaissance, too. Like, he's 12-4-3 with a 204 goals against, 929 save percentage. Like, these guys are just clicking and firing on all cylinders. They're getting the absolute most out of their players. And, like, the run they've been on has just been incredible. I don't think they were even in a playoff spot a few weeks ago, and now they're number one and running away with the division. Like, did you realize they were doing this well?
Not this well. I knew they were doing well. There's been chatter, but I didn't realize they were that strong. But it's funny when you do look at the schedules. They played the Devils quite a bit. They played the Rangers quite a bit, and they played the Sabres quite a bit. So they haven't played, you know, the Capitals, the Penguins, the Bruins, or the Flyers. They've had the majority of their games versus the Sabres, Devils, and Rangers. So that might be a reason, like, their stats are so padded. Like, they're playing the Devils right now, and they're up 4-0. So it's just maybe there's something to be said about the schedule, but they're a good team. They're a really good team. They're built well. They have a great coach, Barry Trotz. Everywhere he goes, he's successful. So it doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me is how well they're doing offensively. When you think of the Islanders, you always think of, you know, strong defensively. Barry Trotz, a really tight team, you know, keeps it really defensive. But, hey, good for them. They have some solid forwards, like you said. Barzal's coming into his own. He's a legit superstar. He's super underrated just because, like we said, no one talks about the Islanders. They're nobody. They're the little brother in New York. Everybody, you know, talks about the Rangers, even if they're doing bad. Nobody mentions the Islanders. They're the hottest team in the NHL. So, yes, my bad. Totally missed on the New York Islanders. Good for them. I hope they don't do good. They're not good for hockey when they're good. Is that okay?
Barzal's good for hockey.
No, he's not. Not in the New York Islanders. Nobody cares about the New York Islanders.
I know. We're a hockey podcast, and we haven't talked about them in like 2 months.
I hated playing when I went to play the New York Islanders. They had the worst rink in the league. The ice surface was an absolute joke. They moved to Barclays Center? How do you say that? Barclays Center. It was a basketball stadium, and they just threw a hockey rink in there haphazardly. The scoreboard was over the defensive zone in one end. It wasn't even over the center dot. It was just a terrible setup. Nobody cares about the Islanders. And I don't know. I wish it was different, but nobody really does. So it's good that they're winning, but I hope they lose in the first round of the playoffs. Because it's bad for hockey when they're winning. It honestly is. Nobody cares. It was like the playoffs last year when Dallas and Tampa Bay made the Stanley Cup. It was okay. No one wanted it to happen. No one at all. So, good for the Islanders. I hope they lose. Is that okay to say? We might get some flack from the Islanders fan. They're very passionate fans. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I hope they lose. I hope they go 2-2-13 in their next 17 games. They're 500. And they might, because they're going to be playing stronger competition. And I know they've beaten Pittsburgh a couple times, blah, blah, blah. They
beat the Bruins. Washington. They're 3-0-1 against the – or no, 4-0 against the Bruins, I think. I think the Bruins took one to a shootout, but they had the Bruins number, and that's not a good matchup for Boston if they meet in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Bruins aren't going to make the playoffs, so that's my prediction. Right
yes,
there.
They are. Buffalo, come on. Buffalo.
They're not going to make the playoffs. Okay, so let's stick with this division. Have you heard the whole saga behind this Panarin stuff? The Russian?
Yeah, I haven't paid that much close attention to it. I know this report came out a few weeks ago from Russia. And this, so this is, I don't even really want to speak to it because I don't know it that well, but there was a political event in Russia where this guy was sent to jail, and Panarin spoke out against it and against Putin, basically, in a social media post. And not long after that, a Russian news outlet comes out with this story about misconduct on Panarin's part with another a woman out in Russia. And he took a leave of absence to go deal with this. The Rangers said they fully support him. He denied any all the allegations against him. That's about all I know, and I probably butchered it. But, yeah, he's back with the team now. He's practicing. So hopefully that's resolved. Hopefully, you know, you can put that behind him.
Russia's wild.
It really is. You can't say
like,
anything.
It's honestly like anything goes. It reminds me of the old, like, and mind you, I don't know anything about it, like just the old Cold War stuff where people just disappeared if they disagreed with like the Soviet Union and stuff. I don't know. It's wild. It's like, oh, this kid's speaking out against the president. Is that what they call him, the president or something?
Premier? I don't know. No, that's a Soviet Union thing. Yeah, it's the president.
Yeah, it's just, it's wild. And who knows? Maybe he did it and he should be investigated. But just from the sounds of it, talking, I've read some articles on it, talking with the players that were on the team, the staff, players around them, this and that. They're like, no, it just didn't happen. Like, they're just trying to get him in trouble. So who knows what happens? I don't know. It's weird that he took a 2-week break. You know, he just had to clear his head. Kids are so sensitive these days. It's just like, why?
They're Russian. They get shot if they smile.
They do. It's like, I need to go clear my head. He probably just went and sat in his penthouse in New York and relaxed for 2 weeks. I don't know. I'm throwing stones. I shouldn't. I mean, he's probably a good kid, but it's very strange. Good to have him back. The Rangers have been competitive of late, so hopefully you can kind of give him a little push and knock the Bruins out of that playoff spot. That would be nice. Tim.
No.
Jack Eichel.
Nope.
Jack Bauer Eichel. He's out with an upper body injury, 7 to 10 days.
At least.
What's going on, Tim? You have some connections in Buffalo. Tell us what's going on with Jack Eichel.
Yeah, I sent out a few texts, made some calls, tried to get some information here. I don't really know what exactly is going on, but they said it's going to be at least 7 to 10 days, which means at least 10 days. And apparently he went out of state to get a deeper assessment of the upper body injury that, you know, they're hoping to have more information the next day or two. But, like, it's got to be something serious, right? Like, how often do players go out of state to see, like, a specialist for something? Like, I don't know.
Quite a bit.
Why?
Just because if there's a specialist who really deals, like, just say it's his shoulder not feeling well and there's no specialist in Buffalo. It's like, okay, well, let's fly to North Carolina. There's a specialist there. All he does is shoulders. He's like on the forefront of everything. Go check him out. There's someone in Dallas who's really good at knees. There's someone who's really good at wrists or whatever it may be. There's a small group of specialists for every body part scattered throughout the country. It happens quite a bit. So that's not abnormal.
Do you think there's any chance Eichel gets traded this year?
Not this year, no. I don't think he'll recoup offseason. If it's going to happen, it'll be in the offseason. I don't think recoup his value this offseason just because the future of the salary cap and everything is unknown. Once they get a handle on the fans, the this, the that, I think then you can recoup more of his value. But the GMs, I think now, they don't know what's going on. And I think you're going to get pennies for the dollar if you try to trade him right now. I think who Buffalo will trade with Stahl and Hall, I think they're gone. There's no chance they make it to the end of the season there. I think they will get some draft capital back for those two guys, but you got to hold on to Eichel. You can't give up on him just yet. I think you trade Stahl, you trade Hall, you try to unload Skinner in the offseason. Maybe give up a second rounder, trade him to somebody, and then you kind of just do one more reset. Just try again and try to surround him with guys who can, you know, make a difference. And then if that doesn't work, then you got to unload Eichel. You got to let him go.
Imagine Stahl to Toronto and put Stahl, Thornton, and Spezza in a line. Three best centers of 2005. And just imagine the storylines.
Stahl's going to go to Edmonton. He's going to go there and try to win a cup. That's what I've heard from around the league. But he, you know, he's a remarkably consistent player. Taylor Hall's going to go somewhere and underwhelm. because he's going to have these high expectations and he's not going to be able to reach them because he's not the player he was when he won the MVP. But, yeah, they're going to get some draft capital for those guys. The Sabres, I was actually just thinking when we were talking about this, oh, Boston Bruins haven't played the Buffalo Sabres. Who is the gimme game in the gimme game in each division? In the Eastern Division, it's the Buffalo Sabres. They're a tap-in. And I would even throw the New Jersey Devils in that category as well, in the Eastern
Division. They're close. Yeah.
Those two teams are just, you know, you're going to get some points, and it's going to be an easy game. In the North Division, I would not even consider Ottawa an easy out at this time, even though they got smoked by Edmonton 7-1 last game. I saw a funny picture the other day. It was like a big orangutan chasing a kid who was terrified.
And it's like, I saw this.
All the Northern coaches running from the Ottawa matchup. Because if you lose Ottawa, you're going to be fired. I guess that's what the joke is. But yeah, I would say Ottawa's the easy out. In the West, who's the easy out?
I mean, the Sharks, I guess, but it's not really, they're not as bad as the Sabres, but the Sharks have to be that team.
I guess in the West, yeah, it's the Sharks. Anaheim, they're pretty easy out. And then it's got to be Detroit in the Central. They're a terrible team. Anyways, Tim, you look like you're going to pass out. What's going on?
What do you mean?
You're so tired. You're rubbing your eyes. Like, oh, I got to go to bed.
No, I'm good. I'm just
I'm not good. It's time. And anything recovering. Else we got to touch on here?
No. Like I said, go check out those fight videos on Hockey Fights and follow their channels. And we'll be posting a lot more there in the coming weeks.
Not too much. I hate overkill the posting. But anyways, everybody, thank you for listening. I appreciate the support. We will talk to you guys next week. Have a good weekend, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.